showing on how we are to live, the way we are to do ministry, to accomplish and to obey God's will. For us, we know that we learn from the last few weeks God calls us, then we might show our insecurities, have concern, be doubting, have some questions, but then God reassures us and tells us, and then we respond, we choose to respond either yes or no. If yes, as Jesus' disciples and his brothers and sisters, then we're baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit, and then with God's help, we begin. Now in our gospel today, we learn and we hear, after Jesus' baptism, and after him being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. That's kind of a neat concept and thought to think about, to remember. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Throughout the whole ordeal, Jesus remained faithful, trusting, always listening to God, and then following his will, following God's ways. Now, the first temptation, the devil shows up at what he considered or hoped for was a point of weakness for our Lord, a point of weakness and an opportune time. When we're starving or famished, and I'm not talking about just being a little hungry, I'm talking really famished, that's a hard time for us. If we think about it, we've seen in the news the last couple of weeks how when the Haitians hadn't eaten for a couple of weeks and the people tried to give them food, utter chaos resulted. That's because everybody was starving. How about Esau in the Old Testament? He was so starving and famished that he sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for one meal from his brother Jacob. Esau sold his inheritance. Starvation is a weak point for most. We don't think or respond in the same way. We're not as rational, and sometimes we're not as faithful at our weakest moments. So the devil shows up, and he says, or he tempts Jesus with this. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. There's a lot to consider. There's a lot in question here. And not least of all, for us, it's our salvation that is at stake. But Jesus wins. He loves, and Jesus is faithful always. Now the devil is trying to appeal to Jesus' ego, or what the devil would hope for would be Jesus' selfish ego, or self-absorbed prerogative. He's also trying to appeal to his starvation, his physical, emotional, and spiritual pain. He's also trying to get at and kind of tempt and torture Jesus' thoughts or doubts of God about his power, his divinity, who he truly is, possibly his dignity. But we know that the devil loses. His deceptions and his tricks just plain don't work. Jesus has no selfish ego, nor conceit. He doesn't have a need to prove how special he is, or how important, or how powerful he is. That is not Jesus' motivation. Jesus' thoughts on prerogatives are the exact opposite of the devil's, and sometimes our own thoughts. Jesus' thoughts, his actions, his desires, his wants are all motivated by total, perfect, pure, and unconditional love. He is devoted to God the Father only. Jesus obeys and loves God the Father above all else. Jesus loves and wills in the same way as God, not like the devil. Our redemption and our salvation, Jesus is bringing us back into relationship with God, is his prerogative and Jesus' desire. Jesus is not self-serving. He is not self-sacrificing. He's always teaching and showing us with his own actions, his own words, the true way, his way, God's way, and the true reason for life. Loving God first and loving ourselves and then loving others just as much as we love ourselves. In fact, if we think of the acronym JOY, Jesus, loving first, others second, and then yourself, ourselves, last. It's really not an easy thing to do, but it is expected of us from our God. And with his help, we are definitely capable of doing it. So next, the devil takes Jesus and he shows him in an instant all the kingdoms. I thought to myself, that had to have been a widescreen to be all widescreens, because he showed all the kingdoms in an instant. Impressive, yes, but it didn't distract our Lord from what he was about to do. So I'm going to read this next one. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. But Jesus responds, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Here the devil tries to entice Jesus with glory, of the wrong kind, with authority, and with power, but it's the kind of selfish power and self-serving power. He's also trying to entice him with personal gain, selfish gain, and selfish wealth, and to even try and trick him into thinking that, oh, well, this is all okay anyway, because it all belongs to me, it all belongs to the devil. And the devil says, since it's mine, I can give it to whomever I please. Not. It's very subtle, but he wanted Jesus to depend on him, not God. The devil wanted Jesus to think that he was generous and could give him more than God. The devil wanted Jesus to serve him and to worship him, not God. And the devil wanted control. Well, his insincere tricks, his controlling bribe, his gifts that were given with strings didn't work. Jesus does respond. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Frustration was setting in for Satan. Last but not least, Jerusalem. That's the next. And wow, if you think about it, what a temptation that was. It too was kind of a subtle psychological ploy, a very deceptive temptation. In other words, meaning that I, the devil, I will keep you safe in Jerusalem. But God, he's not going to keep you safe in Jerusalem. Remember last week with Moses, Elijah, Jesus, the Transfiguration, talking about what had to occur in Jerusalem? That Jesus was going to be giving up his life for us, but in an excruciatingly painful and torturous way. Not a comforting thought. And he was betrayed in a garden by a kiss. Supposedly a beautiful garden and a kiss of love. Well, if we think about it, all of our lives, the human race, with Adam and Eve, it started. growth and beauty where God provides for, cares for, and protects, if accepted. But then sin and disobedience kind of stuck in and took us far from our God and far from God's ways. But Jesus gives us, once again, a new life with God, stemming from the betrayal in the garden and a kiss of love, the Garden of Gethsemane. Now in Jerusalem, that's where the devil tried his last temptation with Jesus again. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan was hoping for Jesus to listen to him once again and not God, trying to fill Jesus with doubt, confusion, and fear. Also an idea of false protection given by the devil, and a hopeful testing of Jesus' true trust in God. The devil even used Holy Scripture in a very twisted way. But Jesus wanted to save us. And Jesus loved and worshiped and served God above everything. Jesus remained faithful. So during Lent, for ourselves, we can ask ourselves, what are our distractions? What is our wrongness? How does the devil tempt us? What is our sin? What do we really want? Who do we really serve? Do we allow the devil or our wilderness or our sin to trip, persuade, or distract us from our love and our worship and our service of God and our obedience to God? Or do we want, like Jesus, to remain faithful and trust and serve God? We are able, because as our colleague said, we know that our God is mighty to save us. Realizing all the time that it is the devil who is in wilderness, and it is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the gardener, who sustains our lives.